So with this forecast that you have here tonight, again, it is a roadmap of where we're going, but it seems like Warrick is not unique in the situations that we need to tackle. These numbers were always there. It is just now they're on the budget sheet, which is eye-popping. These are huge numbers. I know you're not here to give us recommendations on how we should address these things long terms, but overall, if you're looking at just the pensions, we can still bond. We are very low, right? I think we can still bond a number to help the situation if we wanted to bond different things. We still have some flexibility on that, correct?
Correct. I mean, I'm not the bonding agency, but
Yeah.
it appears as though, based on the rating you were given, that you have the ability to go out for general obligation bonds.
Okay. So while this is definitely an issue that we need to address, there's also so many different assumptions that can come in. It can change overnight. Like we just found out, we thought we're going to take, $2.5 million, $2.4 million out of the rainy day fund. It may be less now. That everything changes, so we just need to stay on top of this. But this is very important to bring this forward because that number was always there, this net pension liability and the retirement health care, but now it's on the balance sheet.
Correct.
But the city of Warrick is not unique in this situation. We are going to be seeing these issues across the country. Big and small towns are going to be addressing this, correct?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you for your time.
So you included governmental activities when you were factoring in for our total liabilities. Well, why didn't you include business activities?
Generally, those are paid off with the user fees that are brought in, charges for services that are brought in by those funds. The rate that's being set is hopefully being set at a rate that's going to cover those costs. Generally, user fees like water and sewer are self-sustainable and don't need transfers in on a year-to-year basis from the general fund, which is your governmental activities.
I ask because based on the financial report, it looks like when we factor in business activities, the deficiency drops by about $120 million. So it's still not a great number at 600 and change, but better than 730.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is money that is your net investment in capital assets, which is your money that's tied up in infrastructure, net of debt. So it's not like it's cash on hand in those funds. It's mostly investments in infrastructure that shift to lower the 730 down by $120 million.
Yeah, thank you.
Councilman Lattiser.
Mr. President, Kyle, also thank you for joining us this evening and giving us this presentation. A few people have called me about this presentation, and the questions were, so, what does it mean? How does it affect us? And in the business world, we have a saying that says, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And as we heard earlier, we haven't had a five-year forecast in a very long time. So this isn't anything that's locked in stone. Just this morning, I compared it to a GPS. Someone was asking me about it. So doesn't it fluctuate? Of course it does. It's just like a GPS. You have an old GPS, it might not even show you some of the streets that exist today. You could have a brand new GPS, and it could take you across a body of water in what's called auto guidance. And if you're not paying attention, you could find yourself run aground because it tells you there's no guarantees that this auto guidance program is exact. So I think we understand that. I remember sitting in this chamber many years before I was elected to the council, going back to somewhere around 2007, 2008, of which some other folks were here at that time, and having a similar conversation about what's sustainable and what's not sustainable. And it's been said that back then we were told, here's what the reality is and here's where we're going to be in 10 years or so from now. And why aren't we gone? And I think a large part of that reason is because it wasn't that the numbers in the forecasts and the projections were far off target. I think the answer is because over the last 18 to 20 years, what we've done is we've ignored the things that need to be taken care of. Because the money was flying out the door faster than it was coming in. Things like the schools, the school buildings, infrastructure, sewers, storm drains, basic equipment. We're hearing now, in the past year or so, some significant and alarming numbers about our infrastructure reaching a 75% depreciation. So if you don't address those issues, sure, you're going to have what appears to be some additional monies, and you're going to have what it appears to be an okay business plan. For the average person, the taxpayers, the folks who pay the bills, they say, we have X amount of dollars and cents to spend. And you talked about that. And you said, if you just keep adding on to that credit card bill because you don't have the cash to take care of this or take care of that because you have to pay the mortgage, you have to pay the insurance, you have to put food on the table, you have to buy the children clothing, but you need some of these other unexpected things that occur, such as your boiler fails or you get a hole in your roof and your roof is leaking. And you don't have the money to do those because your other associated costs, such as the costs that we have in government, which are all the costs you spoke to, legacy costs, healthcare costs, pensions, et cetera, and the day-to-day costs of operating a business. In the real world of the taxpayer, if they continue to put money on this credit card and all they can pay is the interest, sooner or later, that day of reckoning is going to get here where they are paying so much interest on the credit card that they can't pay the mortgage. Or the transmission in the car dies and they don't have any money left. They can't borrow it because they're maxed out and they've got their credit cards with a principal balance so high because all they paid was interest, they don't have the money to buy the transmission. And they're going to be saying to themselves, how am I supposed to get to work? So I think it's very important, and Councilman Ricks touched on it earlier, I think it's very important for everyone in this city, all of the employees, all of the taxpayers, all of us here in city government, at least admit that we are not on Rosie Street here. Everything isn't just hunky-dory. We have retirees now that are retiring with pensions of $6,000, $7,000, $8,000. And $9,000 a month in pensions. That's not what was going on 10 or 15 years ago. And it's not going to be what's going on in 10 or 15 years from now. Because if we don't deal with these day-to-day business issues and admit that we have a spending problem and come up with a plan to fix it on everyone's pots, then yeah, we're certainly going to have some significant issues, and eventually the day is going to come when we're not going to be able to fix it. When you think about what I just said with $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, and $9,000 a month pensions, and when you think about what was said earlier, we have more employees who are retired than are working. What does that mean to everybody in this room? What does it mean to you? What it means to me is the folks that are working every day are going to be because of the escalators and not being able to keep up with them. If you have less money coming into your corporate checking account than what you have going out, the day is going to come when the bank's going to be knocking on the door and say, we want to collect our monies. In your report, on page five, where the line item is that says taxes, is that assuming the maximum tax increase?
Based on the current valuation of property, that's correct.
Okay. On page six, I think you gave a good analysis here of an average family. I don't know so much about individuals at $75,000 a year, but an average family, I think that's probably reasonable. These calculations, are they based upon the average employee in the business world? Is that with an assumption that they're going to get a 3 or 4% raise every year?
In the scenario that I put in the slide, I can't speak to that. I mean,
no, it was, and I wouldn't expect you to, because in my business world, we don't go every single year and you always have a raise. So here we have the taxpayer who has an income that isn't rising to the level of the cost of running city government is rising, but they still have to pay for it. You said owe credit card unsecured debt of approximately $240,000. So if you were to translate that into city government, how would you relate that credit card? What would you relate that credit card debt to us here in government?
Well, your secured debt would be your general obligation bonds. Well, your unsecured long-term debt would be your pensions and your OPEB.
So that would be essentially the credit card.
That's the analysis that we were
making. Over the last amount of years that you did on the research, has that credit card debt increased?
Yearly, yep.
Yearly increased.
For most municipalities, it does.
So, am I accurate when I say I would compare that to the average family's credit card and something they're only paying the interest on because the principal continues to grow?
Correct. You're still using the credit card, so the principal would increase, and ultimately your interest payments would increase as well in this analogy.
Something on page seven, I think that it would help for some folks. You have, under short term, you have ignore capital assets, long-term obligations. Could you just run through that again, please? What does that mean?
Certainly. If you're a family, is your short-term focus going to be the addition that you want to put on your house, or is your short-term focus going to be on paying your mortgage, feeding your family? So when you look at a municipality's financial statements, there's two layers of financial statements. You've got your governmental funds, which is your general fund, and that's a short-term focus where you're just focused on paying next month's salaries, paying next month's accounts payable, and then you've got your government-wide financial statements, which are before the governmental, and that's a focus on your buildings, your schools, your equipment, and the general obligation debt that goes along with funding those assets, along with your pension and with your OPEB.
So to expand a little further, keeping the taxpayer in mind, and that's not just the residential taxpayer. Also, I'm speaking to the commercial taxpayer, the business folks throughout the city of Warwick. And I'm only speaking to the city of Warwick because that's where my responsibility lies, is in the city of Warwick. Be, you know, good, bad, or indifferent compared to other communities. For me, the issue is, what do we have here in the city of Warwick? How are we dealing with it? How are we going to cope? So you have, again, that family of four living on that modest income. They have to make choices. And I think you just touched on something very good. Oftentimes, that choice is having to pay an increase in taxes or pay more for their water bill because the infrastructure has been ignored for the last 18, 20 years. And by the way, these problems didn't occur just in the past year and a half. These problems have been growing for the last 18, 20 years. And they've just been allowed to grow and grow and grow. And here we are now, and I say kudos to everyone here in this room. Here we are now having what I would consider a very intelligent debate and a very intelligent conversation, and certainly for a lot of folks, very eye-opening conversation. So we have the average homeowner who, if all of these costs continue to increase because of our cost of running city government, they're going to have to make a choice. That's a difficult choice to make. We have choices, and they're not going to be easy choices to make. And some of those choices are going to be painful. But those are choices that, first, we have to recognize are necessary. And secondly, we have to be prepared to make those choices. And it's not just here on the city council. It's everyone in the city of Warwick. Kyle, we received something the other day. I think someone touched on that a moment ago, which is the general fund, the preliminary statement of revenues and expenditures. So I'm a little confused with something. I need you to explain it. Going down this sheet, it shows us with the beginning unassigned fund balance in July 1st, 2018, at $22,671,446. And then it shows us an estimated unassigned fund balance at June 30th, 2019 of $25,344,000. And at the very bottom, as of June 30th, 2019, it shows us with an estimated ending unassigned fund balance of $22,553,470. Does that mean that, you know, we have this revenue over expenditures in the very first item? Does that mean we have a truly $55,563,000? Or does it mean something different? I need you to explain that.
Right. My understanding is that that top number that you're looking at...
Do you want this sheet?
Yeah, if you don't mind. I obviously can't speak to these numbers because they're unaudited, and I don't know what they represent really.
I'm sorry. Would you repeat that?
Right. These numbers are not audited numbers.
Okay.
So they're directly from what okay. I would assume is the finance department.
All right. Fair enough.
So I certainly can't speak to their legitimacy, but it looks as though they're considering that initial line that you pointed out, the 5.5 million. As a an excess of revenue over expenditures, but I believe that's on a budgetary basis. There's a lot of confusion when you look at a budget versus actual for a municipality, because it doesn't have to be shown the same way as the GAAP financial statements are shown. They were anticipating using fund balance. They were not anticipating looks like a school department FY19 deficit that they're thinking is going to come in around 2.9 million or so. But I think what I get out of looking at this is you had a beginning unassigned fund balance of 22.6 million, which was the audited figure that came straight out of your June 30, 2018 financial statements. And at the bottom, you've got an estimated ending unassigned fund balance of 22.5 million, which would be a decrease of a little over $100,000. So without really, sitting with, the finance department and figuring out what their methodology is for showing a budgetary surplus versus what looks to be a GAAP deficit. I wouldn't necessarily know exactly what those middle figures represent.
Okay.
Brian, did you want to address?
Excuse me, Mr. President.
Oh, sorry.
I still got a few more things. Did you want Brian to come and speak to that now? Oh, sure. Fine. Okay.
Brian, could you answer Kyle's question?
So within the statement that's in front of you, the projected results, there's a estimated change in reserves of $350,000. That is for items that have been purchased and have not been received and have not been funded yet. So funds have been reserved for that. That will go to the city's assigned fund balance projected. And the other amount is the designated use of fund balance in the FY20 budget, the 2.4 million. It had been stated a few times tonight that it was 3.5. The number was reduced at the time of budget by budget amendments to 2.4. That's that amount.
Okay. So then on a GAAP basis versus a budgetary basis, there was a slight deficit as opposed to a... Okay, that's what I read. Thanks.
My calculation that I put on that sheet was accurate.
Provided that the preliminary figures stand to be the correct figures. But I don't know.
In the real world here, when government gets into a position where they're spending more than they're taking in, how they correct that typically is raise taxes or a combination of things. Raise taxes and cut services. Or ignore infrastructure, such as all those items that I already mentioned. The taxpayer doesn't have that luxury of raising taxes. They don't have the option to go to their boss and say, listen, this is what my costs have increased because of ABC, and I need you to give me a raise. They don't have that luxury because it doesn't work. So here we are. And we have your GPS forecast, which is a guideline, some sort of a roadmap. And we haven't had that in a long time. But the thing I take away of particular importance in all of this is recognizing and admitting that we have got to change. We have got to make changes. Healthcare isn't what it was 20 years ago. It's no longer a $3,000 a year benefit. It's a $20,000 to $23,000 a year benefit. All the associated costs with running the city have changed. And the most we can raise taxes is $8 million. I'm ready to take on those issues. I appreciate your forecast. I recognize it is a forecast. It can change like the weather forecast does. But now we at least have something to somewhat set us on a path of dealing with these things. It's going to be long term and there's going to be some pain. But I think we can get there. I think we have the people in place, both in the administration and on the city council, to get us there. And the way we're going to get there is through negotiation, through cooperation, and through some sacrifice. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Kyle, just to go back to that point that Brian made, could you just put that in a little bit more layman's terms? There was a surplus of 5.5 in certain line items, but then it was offset. How would you explain that?
Yeah, it's just a matter of how the data is presented. GADSBY standards allow for the budgetary basis of accounting. So if you didn't budget for an extra $3 million in state aid, or you got a grant that went into your general fund that you hadn't budgeted for it originally, you probably shouldn't count it as budgetary revenue because you didn't budget for it. So there's a lot of line items that go into creating that surplus. But I think at the end of the day, and which is what Brian just spoke to, overall your savings account, at the end of fiscal 19 is going to decrease almost $120,000. Now to put that in comparison, I believe it was anticipated in that FY19 budget that there would be a use of $3.8 million. So it's considerably less than the structural deficit that was built into the budget. But it certainly isn't, on a GAAP basis, a surplus.
Thank you. Is there any other questions from council members? Councilman Lattisaw. Could you speak into the mic?
So how is it? This was discussed in 2008. Here we are in 2018. And we spoke about some of the things that haven't been done. So we can balance budgets. We can balance budgets every year. And you can balance them by cutting programs, cutting services, not dealing with infrastructure. But what's important to remember is, even though you choose to do that, it doesn't mean that all those problems go away. It just means that you're going to take it on next year, or someone else will take it on in 2 or 3 years from now. And that certainly isn't sustainable either. Thank you.
Kyle, can you give us an estimate of what happens if OPEB liability from the city stops at age 65, similar to the school department?
I'd have to look at the total active members in each plan, which I don't have in front of me. But I would assume if that were the case, it would be significantly lower liability than you're currently showing.
Thank you. Okay, are there any other questions from council members? Is there any questions from members of the public? And this is to be the to the actuary. Mr. Cody.
Thank you, Councilman Merola. I've got a couple of questions, but I have a number of observations that I'd like to make first. I think the residents of Warwick have been waiting for this important financial information for a very long time. I'm also glad to see the screens working tonight. But information that is so pertinent to the decisions that are being made by families, I'm a little incensed at the fact that the CEO of the city is not here. I would think that information this important and this vital, and as vital as it is to the city, that the mayor would be here. And I think that sends a message to the taxpayers. It's a level of contempt that this information is not pertinent to him while he's making decisions that affect every single person in this audience and every taxpayer. And quite frankly, I think it's despicable. Another comment I'd like to make. My observation with the city council pertaining to these five-year forecasts and the financial data, members, there seems to be this general attitude that it's okay to kind of downplay this, the severity of this. And it's almost like it's justifying poor financial municipal behavior and decisions by citing examples of worse municipal decisions. Who really cares what other municipalities have for debt? It's not, it doesn't affect Warwick. We're talking about Warwick. And one of the questions I had is, when did the city council actually get this latest and greatest in their hands? Could someone answer that question to me?
I can answer that. I had asked Kyle to update it when the actuarial numbers were presented to us a few weeks ago. As you know, we got the audited numbers in July.
So this five-year forecast that we're discussing tonight, when did the council get it? Did they get it prior to this evening?
Well, we handed out the one 2 weeks ago. And I had asked him to update it with examples so we could understand what those numbers were.
Right.
So I don't know. I'll have to ask Kyle if there were significant changes between the actuarial numbers and what was handed out to the council a few weeks back when we all agreed to have a special meeting instead of this meeting. If that's your question.
Well, I can answer that question. That what you handed out on August 19th and what we have today, there's a $7.8 million difference in the liabilities. But again, you're not answering my question. Like, for example, my councilman from Ward 7, when did he actually get this in his hand and read it for the first time?
This presentation tonight, everybody received tonight.
Tonight?
Yes.
Okay. So that, again, I'm a little bit incensed about, because you get something of such importance and you get it just when you walk in the door. So you haven't had time to digest it, review it, or consume it, right? So because you don't even have the basic knowledge and understanding of a document that affects everyone in this city, you're sitting here on our time trying to figure it out. That's deplorable.
Mr. Cody, that
so, but the point is, on August 19th, these people sat here for 5.5 hours and it was canceled. And on August 19th, the unfunded the five-year forecast showed that we had $121 million shortfall over 5 years. Now we have the audited numbers that are $127.8 million. So it got worse in a couple of weeks. As you recall, the draft copy of July 12, 2018 from YKSM, now Markham, was $130 million. So when you average this all out, you know, you're looking at a 1% to 2% margin of error over the course of 3-5 year projections, none of which, no matter what you do and no matter how creative you get with the accounting, none of them show that we're on good, stable financial grounds. And you know, one of the things that begs the question for me, and as some of you council members know that I've communicated with personally, if you had this five-year forecast before you were going to renew and ratify two union contracts, would that have changed your vote? Bet you the answer is yes. I have to tell you, councilman, as we all know, we watched the actuary for OPEB a couple of weeks back. And that doesn't paint a rosy picture of $352 million of unfunded liabilities. But that's assuming that we're making 3% of nothing, which is nothing, but that nothing amounts to $90 million. Add the schools in, and we're just shy of $500 million in unfunded liabilities. So, for 10 years, I've been coming and I've listened to the actuaries from the pension side and from the OPEB side for 10 years. And over that time, I've heard council members talk about it, how bad it is, and, you know, we got to do something about it. And I know Councilman Merola, tonight you said, you know, we have to take the first step. So I'm confused. What's the first step? Can anyone tell me what the first step is? Because I've been coming for 10 years and I haven't seen the first step. So I know what the first step is. So the first step is, after the actuaries come and they give a terrible report, go home and, you know, we're going to have to do this again next year. What happens is, if you have somebody that's competent and that's paying attention and that's representing these people, what they do is at the end of the council meeting, when the clerk says, we're going to the docket session, does anyone have anything to docket to put on the agenda so we can legally discuss it? That's the And that never happens. And I wonder why that's not happening, Mr. Merola. Why is it, speak about this, and after yourself and other council members and former Councilman Solomon speak so much about how this is going to devastate our community and sooner or later we're going to fall off the cliff, nobody says at the docket session, Ward 7, I'd like to docket time on the agenda to speak about taking the first steps to solving this problem. And because of that, we don't take that first step. The next year we come and we talk about it again and everyone goes home and we still don't take the first step. So what I'd like to know from my councilman, are you going to take the first step at the next council meeting and during the docket session, docket time on the agenda? Because as everybody knows, according to the Open Meetings Act, if it's not on the agenda, we legally cannot discuss the matter.
Mr. Cody, I can tell you that there's been an ordinance that's been docketed several months ago entitled health care. And I know Councilman Lattisaur has been talking about it. I've been talking to Councilman Lattisaur about it too. I think that the point of tonight's meeting is, do we all agree on where we are? Because when you address those issues in those ordinances, and you've sat through many councils,
yeah,
and you've seen many votes on different issues, if we don't all have our oars in the water at the same time, agreeing that that's the direction that we're going in, then the ship spins, right? Some oars are rowing forward and some oars are rowing backwards. And I think that that's a great point. But, you know, there has been an ordinance, I can tell you, docketed. And, you know, OPEB is a big issue. And I think it needs to be addressed. I think a lot of council members agree that it needs to be addressed. And I think that that's a subject that's going to come up for debate. And, you know, hopefully you get a a good turnout and a good discussion about where we need to go. Yes, ma'am, if you could identify yourself for the record.
Melissa Shine, Ward 5. Where is it? Melissa Shine, Ward 5. You're talking about a family household of 75K. I don't make 75K, and I think everybody in this audience made a big sacrifice this year when they got their tax bill. And I don't believe that we want to see our tax bills go up again. Are they going to go up again this year, this coming year? Like another 4%? Is that a solution?
Yeah, I mean, those are questions that will come up, but that's what we're discussing tonight, the long-term plan and how to best address those issues.
Yeah, well, I just think that a lot of us took more of a hit than other people did on this tax bill, which was just outrageous, our property taxes. And I forecasted mine for next year based on 4%. Mine are going up again, not by as much as some other people's, but I mean, I don't think the citizens of Warwick can take anymore. I mean, they really can't, especially when you're saying the infrastructure is collapsing, the schools aren't doing so well. I mean, it just can't come from us. It has to be sucked in from everywhere. Agree? So we don't have any solutions?
That's not what the discussion is tonight. The discussion is tonight where we are.
Okay, yeah. So do we all agree that we're on shaky ground with this?
I think you can poll everybody after, but it's probably, I think that I saw a lot of heads nodding here tonight that they recognize those issues.
But I think a lot of heads are going to be nodding when they say they don't want their taxes to go up anymore, especially because of last year. Last year's was so huge for most of us. I know people on the council, their taxes went up because I ran your numbers too. Some didn't, some don't own a house, but I know y'all's went up also. So.
Yep. Councilman Ricks.
Very briefly, I wanted to just bring to your attention that there is an item on the next council meeting docket on October 7th that is relevant to those issues. So I'd encourage you to check out that docket and perhaps come to this upcoming meeting on October 7th. Thank you.
I come to most of the meetings.
Thank you. Mr. Cushman.
Hi, just Robert Cushman from Ward 1. First of all, I want to thank the City Council for actually having this meeting and developing a five-year plan. I mean, it's something that I've been talking about for 10 years. And as the Council President, you adhered to that. We haven't had something like this in a while. And, you know, I know there's some members from the school department here, the superintendents here, and I went to their first meeting where they're having their five-year forecast plan. And I know Councilman Sinapi is going to be the go-between, the bridge between the school department and the City Council. And, you know, what I'm hoping for is that when the school department gets their five-year projections, you know, we don't want to see, we have a vanilla, you said it was vanilla. We have a vanilla five-year projection that's based on assumptions that nothing, no new programs and no new services are going to be developed in the next 5 years. We all know that's totally unrealistic. You know, the school department, I believe, had 46 line items on their priority list, and I think they, by getting the $4 million, they were stored 1 to 17. Doesn't mean 18 to 46 went away. You know what I'm saying? So Councilman Lattisaw alluded to it. Because you decide not to fund something, doesn't mean it goes away. And, you know, Councilman McAllister, you know, you made a point about, you know, maybe the surplus and things like that, but we took, and everybody talked about this, we're going to have, last year, $5 million to repair our roads. We didn't spend $5 million on roads. I think we spent two because we had to take $3 million out of that in the 2018 fiscal year to plug holes. Then this budget season, we had, I think, was it $4.5 million for roads? We took $3 million and gave it to the schools. Are our roads in better shape because we cut the road paving budget, $3 million? No. Is there still a need to fix our roads for maybe $3 million more? Yes. So the thing is, you know, we talk about unfunded liabilities on paper and Gatsby, and we have all these crazy terms, and now we have pensions, and we have OPEB, and we can see we got $800 million in unfunded liabilities on paper. What isn't on paper? Our roads are falling apart. We're not repairing them, right? Our infrastructure, our sewer lines and our water lines are falling apart, right? And we have no plan right now to fix those things. So those are the unfunded liabilities that are on this five-year plan. So I'm hoping when the school department's five-year projection is done, years ago, Councilman Marola remembers this. I don't know if Councilwoman Travis remembers this. RIPAC came in 13 years ago when I was on the school committee. They did a great report. Big changes we could make to save money. You know what we did with that report? We put it in somebody's desk and we never looked at it again. We didn't do anything. So this should be a living document, this five-year forecast. Same thing with the school department. You should link it together, the bottom line. You should have the ability when the budget hearings come to be able to bring a spreadsheet up that has the school department's five-year plan plugged into it and has the city five-year plan plugged into it. And you have switches that says, I want to fund this program. I want to fund this program. Now, we're not going to fund this program. What effect is that going to have on the city budget from year one to year five? What effect is it going to have on the tax rate? We are so antiquated in the city. It's like, you know, we make this resolution, we make a change, this and that. Then we got to go in the back room and figure it out. We have computers now that can do that online, real time. So when you make a decision to increase your asphalt line item $3.5 million, what effect is that going to have the tax on the tax rate? What effect is that going to ripple through 5 years? So a couple other points. So we have the vanilla plan. Vanilla plan has a $12.8 million deficit with a maximum tax increase with no new programs and services. Now, I understand that might change a little because we had some new budget projections come in. In 2025, I don't know, Kyle, if you want to bring the slide up. But so in 2025, there's something called capital budget city and schools. There's nothing there. So I guess my first question is, what does that mean? 2025.
So the city has a capital budget for the city and the school, and it only projects out 4 years. So it projects out 2021 through 2024, which is why we don't include those costs in 2020. Reasonably, I wouldn't be able to estimate them.
And these line items reflect what of fixtures to buildings, and I mean, what are these dollars reflect? What kind of costs?
Correct. So that would be, potentially equipment. I don't have the capital budget in front of me. They're all for various items, potential future leases for equipment, vehicles. Building improvements are included in those figures as well.
So the only point I'm making, the fact that we have big zeros up there, doesn't mean they're going to stay zeros. You guys just haven't decided yet that you're going to make lease purchases or other kind of purchases go up. But my point is, you know, we're going to need more money, right, for these kinds of things. And the fact that you got a $12.8 million deficit, so what does that mean? That means somewhere within all of these line items and all these programs and services, and wait till we plug the school department in, I bet it's going to be $30 million. And I'm not making any criticism, because they're going to be putting in requests for new programs and services that they need, computer service, things that they can't live without. The fact of the matter is that you're going to have to stop prioritizing what is more important to spend and what isn't, and you're going to have to make cuts, right? Because we're not going to have a maximum tax increase for 5 years and have a $20 million deficit. We just can't do that. So that's my whole point. We're going to have to come up with priorities, and there's more to this, you know, than meets the eye. So one other point. You know, we're talking about the five-year forecast, and we're talking about the future. I want to talk about the past. I was on the council 2007 and 2008. I've been keeping a database of the city and school trends for 15 years. And I want to share with you the trends that have developed in the city that are going on right now and are going moving forward. I think people downplay the severity of what's going on, because people say, we got a AA bond rating. But we just learned today that the bonding agencies don't look at the short-term credit card debt, which is pensions and OPEB. So that means if I have $240,000 on my credit card and only $15,000 on my car loan, I could go to the bank and say, they're going to say, Bob, we're going to give you another $250,000. That's totally unrealistic, but that's what we're talking about. So when people want to do press releases that say, we got a AA bond rating, think about that analogy for a second. You could be swimming in debt, but the bond ratings agencies are not looking at that. It does not mean you're not in a fiscal crisis. So let's get that right off the table right then and there. So 2004, this is the city budget. We spent 11% of the budget on capital expenses and debt. What are we talking about? Lease purchases, right? Bonding to fix up schools. Bonding to fix up city buildings, right? In 2020, we're spending $9.7 million. We're spending less money now on capital debt and expenses than we were 15 years ago. It's 6% of the budget. It was 11% in 2004. What does that mean? I was sitting on the council in 2007 when we froze all that bond spending. I was on the school committee in 2006 when we passed a $25 million bond. I think we finally spent that. That should have been spent years ago. What did we do? We froze all of our borrowing. Sometimes borrowing is good, right? Because you need to fix things up. So what we've done in 15 years is we've basically level funded the capital expenses. Actually, we didn't even level fund it. It's 6% of the budget now. It used to be 11%. And that's why everything's falling apart, because we're not borrowing to fix things up. Now, the thing is, we can borrow now because the credit agencies will let us do that. But here's the problem. When you look at active employee expenses, 15 years ago, it was 57% of the budget. It's only 51 now. It's going down. When we look at retired employee expenses, that's pensions and health care. It was $18 million. It was 19% of the budget 15 years ago. You know what it is now? 30%. We went from 19% of the budget to 30% of the budget. And then there's all other spending. It was about $12 million, 13% of the budget. It's 14% of the budget now. So everything else in the city that we needed to spend money on, we've basically kind of been flat in terms of the percentage of the budget. So where's all the money going to? How did we get from 19% of the budget in 2004 to 30% in 2020? I did a calculation. In the last 15 years, we've provided $61.2 million in new tax dollars on the city budget. 44% of that went to retired employee benefits. What does that mean? That means out of every $1 in taxes re-raised over the last 15 years, 44 cents of that dollar went to people that used to work for the city that performed services in the past. Councilman Lattisaw, if you had to take that out of your business, I think you would go bankrupt if you had to pay 44 cents of every profit you made, every dollar. You wouldn't stay in business. That's where we are in the city right now. And that's the trend right now for 15 years. And do you think that's going to get better? It's not going to get better because we've already heard the forecast over here. Our health care costs are going higher for retirees. Our pension costs are going higher for retirees. The actuarial came in, and I don't think people sometimes realize, where he said we need to have a 2.7% increase over the next 10, 15 years to make this payment. How are we going to do that? You, Councilman, the President, Marola, I think one of the greatest quotes we ever got made from the actuaries, they don't care whether we could pay the bill or not. They just tell you how much you have to pay. They don't look at the impact. Back in 2007, when I was on the council, we used to have a department. Councilwoman Travis remembers this. Councilman Roller remembers it. It was called Youth Services. You know what it did? After-school programs for kids. If you look at the budget now, there's no such department called Youth Services. You know why? We cut it. It's gone. We had another department called Family Services. Guess what? It's gone. It's not there. Why isn't it there? Because the retired employee expenses are consuming 44% of our new tax dollars. And I just want people to get something for perspective here. I looked at six employees who retired, and I'm not going to say which department they came from in 2016. I looked at six employees, and I calculated, and this, I did a Freedom of Information request to get this information. So these six employees' entire career with the city, they contributed $764,056 into the pension fund. Over the next 20 years, because of compounded COLAs that we give for our pension plans, they're going to pull out, they're going to get in retirement benefits, $11,139,077. So think about that for a second. Think about that for a second. That doesn't count the free lifetime health care that they get either. This is totally unsustainable. Here's the recommendation I'm going to make to the city council. You need to study because, you know, we look at the benefits. There's so many different benefit plans. There's so many different employees that get benefits. You know, I was on the Beacon blog a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, people use their alias names and things like that. And I know this was a union person. They basically came and they said, employees prior to 1998, a lot of them didn't get lifetime health care. Lifetime healthcare came in with the Scott Avedisian administration, where he basically opened up Pandora's box and gave it to everybody. So the problems exploded in the last 20 years because we gave away lifetime healthcare. This council needs to go in, and somebody needs to do a study and find out all the different variations of these benefits, what they are, what we're paying, and we got to get to a point where we have to decide, should we be paying one employee $175,000 a year in a pension 20 years from now? Is there a point in time where we have to say we need to max out certain benefits? Because that's what we have here. We have one employee over the next 20 years is going to get $2.6 million in pension payments. His pension is going to be $175,000 a year on top of lifetime health care. There's got to be a point in time where we have to say is that we need to reprioritize. We need massive cuts. I hate to say this. We have $300, $400 million in OPEB unfunded liabilities. We're doing pay-as-you-go. So, you know, we talk about these big numbers, Councilman McAllister. We can't even afford to pay as you go. We're paying 44 cents on the dollar of new taxes every single year to pay for these benefits. I don't care about the big numbers. I don't care about pay as you go. I don't care about an OPEB trust fund. We can't afford pay as you go. So this council needs to educate the residents of the city. And I think if we find out there's Councilman Lattisaw, you just said to me, and I wasn't even, we have people making $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 a month in a pension. That's $108,000 a year in a pension. Can we afford that? How about the people on, you know, on Medicare and the senior citizens who are lucky if they get a percent and a half COLA for Social Security? The city can do certain things. And this is my own opinion. I know the unions aren't going to like me saying that. This city can declare a financial emergency. Mayor Solomon can declare a financial emergency. You know what? Cranston did that. And you know what Cranston did? They froze the COLAs for 10 years. We're giving 3% compounded COLAs for retirees and police too and fire too. We shouldn't be giving any COLAs right now. We can't afford it. We need to look at the entire structure of employee retirement benefits, and we need to start doing a study first, because you know what? When you don't know what you're giving out or you don't know what the benefits are, how could you even propose any kind of changes? This is a complicated process here. We need to get all the facts out, and then we need to start making decisions. Do we want to build school buildings? You know, one last point here, because I made a litany of stuff, and I just, you know, I want to ask a question maybe to Kyle, but I'm reading the paper, and I made a list over here. So right now, there's an ongoing discussion I read in the paper to give $80 million more in bond money to schools, right? This is above the $40 million you just gave them, right? So you're talking about that now. I just read an article in the Beacon where we're talking about $90 million to possibly build a high school. That's going to be for bonding, right? And I have a question. So in this presentation, we said 75% of, I think you said, the capital assets are depreciated. And I think they're worth $400 million. So that means we have, what, $300 million has been depreciated, and that was like 75%. And I think, did you label that red or yellow? I think you had it. Was it yellow? So, and I'm going to do some quick math off the top of my head. If we wanted to get that to 50%, it would cost us $100 million, right? I mean, do you know what the, you know, you said 75% is yellow. What gets you to green?